Now, Kaddish is considered the first cup, the first kus of Pesach. So, on the surface, we have to understand why is this considered the first cup? After all, Kiddush is something that you have to do every Yom Tov and every Shabbos. Is there a difference between Kiddush and the Kiddush during the year? You know, is the Kiddush of every holiday, of Sukkot, of Shavuos, of Shabbos, and the Kiddush of Pesach? So it says like this in the Gemara Psachim. It says like this, the Mishneh, first Mishneh in the 10th Perek in Sochim, it says that you must give everybody, afilu oni b'Yisrael, right, lo yifchesu lo me'arba koso shel yayin. You can't give him less than 4 cups of wine, right? Says Tosfos. What about his family, right? You can't give him less than 4 cups of wine. What about if he has a family, you have to give 4 for each one? So it also says that from here it would seem on the surface mitoch haloshem mash maktsas she'ein lo shnei lebonov lebnei beiso, that on the four cups, right, it's not important that everybody should drink the 4 cups. It's important that one person should drink the cup. In other words, exactly like Kiddush, which means that there is no difference between the Kiddush of Pesach and other Kiddushim. Right? Every Kiddush during the year on Shabbos. One person makes Kiddush, and he's motzi everybody. Now, how can he be motzi everybody? Obviously, the mitzvah is not the drinking of the wine, because if the mitzvah would be the drinking of the wine, you can't be motzi. You can only be motzi, you can only become a shaliach, you can only become an agent for a mitzvah that's not begufo, something that you have to do in your body. I can't be motzi you in putting on tefillin, because the tefillin has to be on my body. Right? If the mitzvah would be drinking wine, if the mitzvah of the 4 cups would be drinking the wine, you couldn't even think of the possibility that one person, the person who leads the Seder, can drink the wine and everybody can be motzi, right? It's impossible. So it must be that Tosfos is considering the possibility, right, that the 4 cups of wine are not important per se. Now it's because we have to drink 4 cups of wine. But what? How could the Yotz be motzi in Kiddush? How can I be motzi you with Kiddush? Because the drinking of the wine is secondary to what? To the saying, to the text, to what I say. I mean, the reason why I can be motzi with you, motzi you in Kiddush, is because the drinking of the wine is secondary to the saying the Kiddush on the wine. Meaning, my chiyuv is say Kiddush on wine. It's the saying on the wine that's important, not the drinking. So saying on the words, I can be motzi you, okay? Comes out according to this, that when we are talking about 4 cups of wine on Pesach, we're not really talking about 4 cups of wine. We are talking about saying specific things in front of 4 cups of wine. Clear? Now, even though at the end, Tosfos says, well, maybe on Pesach you have to do more. You also have to drink the wine, right? But Tosfos doesn't refute the first point of view. That what? That the main chiyuv of arba kosos, the main chiyuv of 4 cups, is not the 4 cups in themselves, but it's what you say in front of the 4 cups. Yes, this is clear. This is clear. That means that at the end of Tosa says, "V'hamachmir tzorich lizor." I mean, you know, that you have to be machmir, fine. But theoretically, right, the Kiddush, right, is the first cup. You know, it's the same. The text of the Kiddush is the first cup. So somehow we must say that the text of the Kiddush, right, has something to do with the reason that's given for the 4 cups of wine. Now, what is the reason given in the not in the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi gives a reason for the 4 cups of wine. And that's the reason that everybody knows. It's interesting, not in the Bavli. The 4 Lashonos HaGeula, the 4 ways that the Torah expresses the Geulas Mitzrayim: the Hotzesi, the Hitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokafti. Okay?
In the Gemara itself, in the Yerushalmi says it?
The Gemara in the Yerushalmi, not in the Bavli. Right, some of the commentaries, not in the Bavli. The Bavli, the Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara doesn't say it.
What? Or
Amorite. It's not. The source is an Amorite source. It's a Yerushalmi source. But anyway, this is the accepted reason for the four cups of wine. The Hotzesi. So now, the word the Hotzesi in the Torah, in Parshas Vo'eiro, the Hotzesi, the Tzalti, the Lagoalti, the Lokafti, has a meaning different than its superficial meaning. The superficial meaning is unacceptable, because your superficial meaning is the Hotzesi, I took you out. That's impossible. Because the second word is the Hitzalti, and the Hitzalti means I saved you from being a slave. Obviously, what came first? They're stopping from being slaves or they're going out? Obviously, they stopped being slaves before they went out, according to the Gemara. Even 6 months before they went out, they were already free. You know, according to the Gemara, already from 6 months before Pesach, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro, the Jews ceased working, right? Some people say that all the nostalgic remembrances of the Jews, all the great days they had in Egypt that they used to eat for free, all go back to the last 6 months where they didn't have to work. The only restriction was they couldn't leave Egypt, but they didn't have to work. That's what the Gemara says. So it doesn't make sense, the order, that the Hotzesi can't possibly mean the actual going out. Says the Maharal that the Hotzesi actually means something else. The Hotzesi means what the Jews went through in Egypt. Their recognition that they are different, which means like this. Up to a certain point, the Jews felt that they were Egyptians, right? And they'll stay forever in Egypt. They'll never break away from the Egyptian nation. But they have a different background. They have different ancestors. Their roots are different. But essentially, they are Egyptians for life, right? Like in the United States, you are an Italian-American. So, but you're an American, of course, so you have Italian roots. So therefore what? So you're proud of your ancestry. But you are essentially an Egyptian. That's what the Jews thought. Up to a certain point, when they actually raised themselves from the rest of the Egyptians and they realized, we really are not Egyptians. The Hotzesi refers to that level, to the mental exodus. In other words, they mentally decided to leave. Now, not decided, but they mentally realized that they don't belong here. That is the first step of the redemption. Vo'eiro, beginning of Vo'eiro. Now, if the Hotzesi is related to Kiddush, that's the first cup, the Hotzesi, right? Obviously, the text of the Kiddush must hint to the essence of the meaning of the Hotzesi. And if we look at the text of the Kiddush, of course it does. That's the essence of the Kiddush. What do we say in the Kiddush? In Kiddush we say like this, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Om, you chose us from all other nations, Veromimonu Mikol Loshon, you raised us from other cultures. Loshon is language, or more modern language means culture. So what is that? That is the Hotzesi, which means the Kiddush is a expression of that level that we fulfilled in the Hotzesi, the first level of Geulah. Okay? So according to this comes out that the Kiddush in Pesach is different than every other Kiddush. Not in the text. The text is exactly the same. The same text. But in Pesach it takes on a different meaning. It takes on a meaning that expresses the level called the Hotzesi. Okay? Which means this is why Kiddush is considered the first cup. Not that we have Kiddush plus three. No. We drink four cups, which means that Kiddush becomes one of the cups of Pesach. Why? Because the text of Kiddush fits perfectly in the meaning of the Hotzesi, the first level of redemption. What is the first level of redemption? The recognition of Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Lom, Veromimonu Mikol Loshon. That is, yeah.
Somewhere else,
100%. Meaning, the Chachomim who established the four cups saw that Kiddush fits perfectly into the Seder, right? And as a matter of fact, we consider Kadesh the first step of the Seder, right? And by the way, before we, yeah.
which relates to the idea that you said about doing things on the wine. So
this exactly.
Is referred to being
on exactly, the because the way I told you from Tosus, I proved to you that the four cups of wine, we don't have to look the meaning in the wine. We have to look at the meaning by the word we say before the wine, right? And by the way, this is why, you know, that what about that person who will drink four cups of wine straight in Pesach? Is he fulfilling any mitzvah? None at all. Why? Again, because he didn't say the right thing. You know, the essence of the four cups is not the four cups so much, right? It's what you say in front of the four cups. What? No machlokes at all. The first cup. Why? Because you are talking. You make kiddush and you drink four cups, so you have one cup. You don't have four. Okay? Now, now, before we go on, as we said, Kadesh is the first step of the Seder. Now, why is the night of Pesach, what we do in the night of Pesach, called Seder? Right? So I found in the portion that they say that the main thing of Pesach is the recognition of Hashgoche Protis. In other words, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Sicho Meretz Mitzrayim, meaning the sign of the fact that God cares for what's going on in this world is Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That's why in the Seretz Adibres, that's brought down as the example of the fact that God cares of what's going on. What is the difference whether God cares what's going on or he doesn't care what's going on? The difference is there a plan in this world? Is it part of a plan? Or it's one big great chaos? Things just happen. In other words, is there a Seder or isn't there a Seder? The word Seder means something that you do according to a plan. Which means like this. The essence of Pesach is the establishment of a Seder in this world. This is why everything we do in the night of Pesach is according to a Seder. Which means that the fact that it's a Seder expresses in itself the essence of Pesach, which is the recognition that there is a Seder. Now, after Kiddush, we wash, except that instead of washing for bread, we wash for karpas. So according to the karpas, according to most Meforshim, is the name of a specific vegetable that was chosen by Chazal because the name hints to something that has to do with Egypt. Right? According to the Meforshim, karpas, if you read it backwards, is samach perech. Samach hints to 10,000 Jews. You know the highest number in Hebrew is what? You know what the highest number is?
Rivon.
10,000 is the highest number. Now it's 100,000 is 10,000, right? And it's 1,000,000 is 100. So this is why the amount of Jews in Egypt are called Shishim. Shishim of the highest number, which is Shishim Rivo. Sama. Perech means what? Avodas Perech, the type of work that they did. Very difficult work that breaks you because the Gemara says they used to make a man do women's work, a woman do men's work, an intellectual do physical work. And you know, it's everything against your nature. That's called avodas perech. So the rabbis chose a vegetable whose name was karpas in order to remember. Now, since the name changed and today we have no vegetable, the name is karpas, we still maintain the minhag, the chiyu of taking a vegetable and dipping it in something, right? Let's say salt water. And since there was a haloche in the days that Jews kept the laws of tume, right? How does food become ro'i lekabel tume? When does food become ro'i lekabel tume? Food by itself is not ro'i lekabel tume, an apple. Only when it's covered with a mashke. So therefore, since we are going to dip it, therefore we wash. According to the going, we even have to make a broche on this washing. But we maintain this idea. So what's the idea behind it? To remember the Shishim Ribo. The Gemara says, why do we have to dip at this point? Why is it so important? Heker the duat. For the kids to ask. So the reason for this karpas is for the kids to ask. Yes? So of course there has to be a reason why this. Why don't it say, well, you start jumping up and down and then the kid will ask it. It's obviously what they tell you to do in order the kids to ask has to have a connection also, right? Okay, so that of course requires an explanation. Now, let's connect this. We are skipping a little bit. As a matter of fact, one of the four questions that the child actually asks, right, is, why do we dip? So it becomes the formal text of the question in itself. Why do we dip? Well, we always ask the question. Mesubim we didn't ask. But dipping was always part of the question. Yes. What wasn't there, according to some, was Mesubim wasn't there. It was Kol Pesach was there. Right? So, of course, it requires an explanation. What is the meaning of it? Like, why do we do it? Why do we do it all together? So, now, you know that the halacha is, we're going to be mentioning it over and over again, the halacha that by matzeh, you are supposed to eat matzeh letei ovon. Special halacha, that when you eat matzeh at night, you must make sure that you are hungry when you eat the matzeh. Something which is very unusual. Mishneh Sochim. Arvei Sochim, somuch lemincha, already early in the afternoon, somuch lemincha, lo yoichal odo mase techta. Some say that it means 2.5 hours before sunset. But in any case, we have a specific isur to set up a meal in the afternoon. Right? Oh, why? Because you have to eat matzah leteyovon. It's very important to eat matzah leteyovon, that you have to be hungry when you eat the matzah. Right? In order to enjoy the matzah more, whatever it is. Interesting. Korban Pesach is eaten when? Huh? When is Korban Pesach eaten? What? Only after you are not hungry anymore. Al Hasova, when you are already full, but not terribly full. Now, it shouldn't be an Achila Gassa. You learned the, right? In other words, if you are so full that you can't, you have to stuff yourself, then it's not considered eating. You don't even have to make a broken, it's nothing. But you have to be full enough that you have room, but you don't, you're not hungry for it anymore. And we'll see. I mean, it's odd. One mitzvah, you have to be hungry. The other mitzvah, the doctor, you should not be hungry. Allah sova. Right? Two extremes. Right? But in any case, matzah, the essence of matzah, requires that you should eat it when you're hungry. Okay? That's what it says. Now, take a look also at the Gemara Psochim. The Gemara Psochim says, it tells you what different people used to do before Pesach. Psochim Kuf Zayin, Amud Bey. It says like this. Some people fasted a whole day before Pesach. Right? You know, to be hungry. Some people used to drink wine because wine, they used to believe, makes you hungry. Rabbi Yitzchok Matbil Biyarkei. Rabbi Yitzchok used to dip vegetables and eat. Right? And some other one used to take other things and dip. And dip. Says the Rashbam, listen to this Rashbam. What's the idea of dipping? The idea of dipping and eating vegetables, because it says like this. Hoyo oichel yerek, he would dip vegetables, minaminchu lemailo. Lefi sheino matbia. First of all, because it doesn't fill you up. Vegetables don't fill you up. Venire beinai, and I think it's even more than that, says the Rashbam. Not only isn't it filling, but somehow it opens up your appetite. Meaning, there is such a thing that there are certain foods, right, that it's even called appetizers. Now, they open up your appetite. This is an appetizer, says the Rashbam. So it's even better to eat. It's not only that he ate it because he was allowed to. He ate it because he wanted to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah leteyovon by eating it. You hear? The megara libe lemecha vocha macho leteyobon yoiser. Just the opposite. He did it with shem mitzvah. Ulefichocho yoichel yerech. Velo yoinoy again kimer ef Pesach. And only he only did it ef Pesach because in order to eat macho leteyobon. Here. Kedei lehamshich velechol belaylo in order to develop an appetite. Comes out according to this. That the dipping, right, has a very special meaning here. Meaning, you dip because dipping opens up your appetite. It's part of eating matzah l'teyovoy. Here? Now, the Maral says that the essence of Pesach is the idea of opposites, the idea of hepech. May Abdus, because we change from one extreme to another. We change from slavery, right, to freedom. Me afelo, from darkness to light. Nishibud ligeulo. Why? What's the idea? Because human nature is that in order to experience one extreme state, you can only experience it or appreciate what you are experiencing only after experiencing the opposite, which means like this. The reason why Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, your children will have to be slaves, is because they will have to become free in order to receive the Torah. That experience of freedom, in order to get the maximum meaning into it, only can be through going to the other extreme first. So when we are giving a reason why did we have to be in Egypt, which is one of the questions that you can ask on Pesach, right? We were in Egypt. Why were we in Egypt? God took us out. But why did he put us into Egypt? Because if he wouldn't have put us into Egypt, right, we would have never appreciated what it means to go out of Egypt. Now, why is there such a tremendous stress in being hungry for eating matzah? What is the symbolism of matzah? The symbolism of matzah? Chayrus! We went out! The chiposer! Why do we have to go hungry? Because the same way, right, that the state before the going out is essential in order to taste chayrus, now you have to be a slave before you appreciate freedom, you have to be hungry before you can appreciate food. So the hunger before eating matzah is symbolical to why we had to be in Egypt. You understand? You know, hunger is the answer for why we had to be in Egypt. Okay? Comes out, according to this, that why do we have to dip? The whole idea of karpas is why? In order that we should appreciate matzah more. This is the whole idea. The way we showed clearly from the Rashbam, that you dip in order to become hungry. Why is it so important to be hungry? Right? There is no such a chiyuv in any other yom tov to be hungry. As long as you enjoy it, it's good enough. Here there is a special positive stress to be hungry. Why? Because hunger is part of the mitzvah of Pesach, in order to appreciate the opposite. Okay? So it comes out according to this, that this is the question, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. How come the rabbis made the question, why do we have to dip, part of the text of the question? If we are going to follow the simple answer of the Gemara, you know why we dip? So you can ask. So what kind of an answer is it? You hear? It's not, you know, you make the kid ask, how come we have to dip? And I'll tell you the answer. In order to, you should ask. It just doesn't make sense. It's absurd. The point is, the whole idea of asking, what is the essence of asking? Again, the Maharal. Why is it that the whole Haggadah has to be only as an answer to a question? Why could it be just a statement? Right? Again, because unless you are hungry, food makes no, doesn't have a meaning. A statement only makes sense if you have created the vacuum into which the answer fits in. Otherwise, if that vacuum, if that question, if that curiosity hasn't been developed, the answer has no meaning. You know when an answer has a meaning? When you ask. This is why on Pesach, for the same reason that you have to be hungry for the matzah, right? For the same reason that you have to be a slave because you can be free. Before you can answer, you have to ask. You understand? Meaning, the question is part of the essence of what Pesach is. Pesach is the recognition of one extreme in order to appreciate the other. So therefore, question is not just a method. The question in itself, is part of the meaning of Pesach. So when the child asks, why do we dip, right? And the Gemara says, in order that he should ask. There is a tremendous depth to the story in the earth. Because asking is the essence of Pesach. Because unless you ask, my answer has no meaning. And the essence of Pesach is to appreciate Matzah, to appreciate the Haggadah. In order to do that, you have to ask. Okay? So, now, all of a sudden, a lot of things make sense. First of all, why we dip? What the Gemara means that we dip in order that you should ask, right? Why it's part of the Manishtano, right? And on the surface, it's part of the Manishtano, we never answer him. We do answer him. Avodim Oino the Paro Mitzrayim. I have to tell you why we were Avodim the Paro, yeah.
Does the statement, we dip in order to stimulate appetite, have any relevance?
Yes.
It does?
Again, we what?
We dip.
In order to stimulate appetite?
Is that a relevant answer?
Very relevant. Because
the answer is in order to impose to stimulate the question, not to stimulate the hunger.
Exactly. But the hunger and the question is exactly the same thing. Now, the depth of the idea of the hunger
is
what? Exactly. Because essentially, the hunger for matzah is the same idea as the question for the Haggadah. Right? And the dipping is both. Right? It makes you hungry for the matzah and hungry for the question. You hear the depth of it. Okay? This is what Karpas is all about. This is the essence of Karpas. Now, Yachas, after Yachas, so according to the Goyen, you take one of the two matzahs and you break them. Why? Because since on Yontev you are supposed to have two and not three, says the Goyen, right? You break one of them. Otherwise, it's not lechemoni. Because if you are going to have three, like we do, right? Most of us already keep not the Goyen's minhag. We keep three matzahs. But if you are going to keep three, then you don't see the lechemoni because we have two full ones. If we have two, the whole idea of breaking it is in order to do what? What is the whole idea of breaking it? Because darko shelhoni bepruso, because a poor man doesn't have a whole matzah, right? But I have two whole ones. If I break one of them, that's the rationale behind the Goyen Shite. It's a machloket. The Gemara said you break one of the matzahs, so the question is you break one out of two or one out of three, right? So most other achronim say it means, or rishonim say one out of three. Why? Because since it's Yontev, you're supposed to have two whole matzahs, so obviously the one that's broken has to be the third one. Says the Goyen, that's impossible. You understand why? Because if the whole idea is to show lechemoini, right? So it has to be between, among those that you need. You have to show that there is a symbolism of poverty. Then you can only have two. So many people who follow the minhag agro really only have two matzahs, right? And one of them is broken, not like we do. I mean, Klal Yisrael didn't accept the Goyen's version. But the idea of the Goyen is very well understood. It's lechemoini. And that's very important in order to start the Haggadah right away, because right after the breaking it, right? Because otherwise it's very difficult. Why do we break it now? Why do we break it now? And this justification that apparently, you know, the Gemara, you know what happens right after Yachas, what became, a minhag was developed, that you put it away, and the children grab it and hide it, right? Which according to some is only a misinterpretation of a Gemara. You know, the Gemara says in Psochim, you were learning it? Where is the Gemara? Chot Mesa Matzis? Kofiun. Choytin. What is choytin? So it's a big question, what choytin means. So some people say it means choytin, you raise the matzah and you show it, right? Some people say chotef, lachtof means what? To grab, meaning to steal. Oh, so that's what it means, the children have to steal the matzah in order. Okay, so that's what the minhag developed. But the essence of the minhag, right, is, because otherwise the truth of the matter is, it's difficult. Why do we have to break it now? When are you going to be using it? Later on, for afikomen. So, when you are going to eat the matzah, right, make the brocha amosi, right, you break it and you put part of it for the afikomen. Why do you have to do it now? The answer is, you have to do it now because you are going to raise the matzah and say, holach mo'anyo, right? And so it has to be holach mo'anyo right now, okay? So this is the reason why yachatz comes right before magid. Yachatz, I break it, I make it into lechem oni, and now I can say holach mo'anyo, okay? Now, so let's go through the holach mo'anyo. Holach mo'anyo, the first statement. Now first I'll tell you the simple pshat. Now, the Maharal is a different pshat completely, but the simple pshat. The simple pshat is, why do we eat matzah? It's giving you a reason. You know why we eat matzah? Because the Jews ate it when they were in Egypt. When? So you can figure out, probably when they were working, they had no other food, right? They were poor, they couldn't afford any better bread, so they used to eat matzah, yeah? I mean, that's not exactly what the Haggadah says later on. The Haggadah says later on, matzah zushanu olchim al shumo, why do we eat matzah? Because when he speak betzeikom shalavetil lahachmiz, because when they were going out, they didn't have a chance to ride. They were in a rush. It's the symbolism is, rushing. We are rushed to go out. So what does it have to do with what we did in Egypt? Okay. So it seems like a contradiction between the reason we are giving now for eating matzah and the reason that's given later on. So it says, that's not really a contradiction, because we are talking about two different laws concerning matzah. Matzah is one law that it cannot be chometz, right? And the reason why it cannot be chometz, that's already mentioned later on in the Haggadah. You know why it cannot be chometz? Because chometz reminds us of something that we have time, we are not in a rush. Matzah has to be not chometz. But then there is another law in matzah. Matzah cannot, you cannot add anything else but flour and water. You can't add any eggs or juice or sugar. Why not? Because if you do, you make it into a what? Matzah ashiro. What is the opposite of ashiro?
Oni.
Lachmo anio. So, we are giving a reason. You know why we eat water and flour and that's all? We are not saying why we don't make it chometz. That's later on. Here we are giving the reason why it's only so basic. Flour and water only. That reminds us of what? Of our poverty in Egypt. The fact that it's not chometz, that reminds us of what? Of the chitozoin, of the cheirus. You know, we're talking about two different things. You know, the whole lachmoanio is during Egypt, right? And the matzah, when it says, and the matzah that's not chometz, that's when we went out. We're talking about two different things. Okay? This is simple chat. The Maharal learns completely different. This is taken from different places. But the Maharal says something completely different. The Maharal says, first of all, he says, where do we find the Jews ate matzah in Egypt? Yes, one time they ate matzah in Egypt. When? The last night. Holach mo'anyo, this is the lechem oni, the achol avosono, when they went out of Egypt. First of all, it destroys all everybody else's pshat that we are talking when the Jews were in Egypt. Sure, they were in Egypt when they ate it. Right before they left, the last night. Right? And what does it mean, lechem oni? So what's the idea of lechem oni? It says like this. The idea of oni is like this. We eat lechem oni because it's a symbol of freedom. Because the more things you add to bread, right? So you add sugar, you add the eggs, you add this. It gets away from simplicity. And anything which is not poshut, the less poshut, the less simple it is, the less it's a symbol of chayrus. Simplicity is the absolute freedom. You know the idea, tremendous depth in what the Maharal says. The essence of freedom is simplicity. The less simple you become, the more you dependent you become. Right? Therefore, the essence of absolute simplicity is absolutely simple bread. That is lechem oni. So it doesn't mean lechem oni, poverty, that we were in poverty. We weren't in poverty, we were rich. It's lechem oni, but we still had very simple bread because that symbolized freedom. This is how we learn.
This seems to be a better representation of freedom than later on.
What?
So this seems to be a better representation of freedom than later on.
No, according to the Maharal, it's all one. According to the Maharal, it's all one. Meaning, you're not talking about two different things. Holach mo'anyo, it's lechem oni, it's simple bread. Simple is also quick. You know, the quicker you do something, right? It says like this: Geulo is related to idea of quickness. Something happens quickly, without resistance. Like something has to be done suddenly in order to become a redemption. If it's something that takes a long time, a slow process, that's not redemption. Redemption goes together with suddenly. Chomet is something that takes time, he says.
Why is redemption have to be something sudden?
The whole symbolism of redemption is that finally we break out. The idea of breaking out, it's a very subtle idea, which means like this. There is a resistance. Suddenly we are out. Meaning, if it's slow, that means the resistance is still there. There is a lack of redemption if there is still a resistance. You hear what the Maharal says? Which means like this. There has to be an association of chipozon. Chipozon is an essential word by Matzeh, right? And geulo. Otherwise, why is it such a phrase of chipozon? He says, because if there is still a resistance, then there is no geulo. It means it's still a process of geulo. It's not the geulo in itself. Geulo means you are finally free. Finally free has a suddenness to it. And suddenness contradicts the idea of chometz, says the Maharal. Therefore, it's all part of the lachmo anyo. Lachmo anyo means the bread of freedom, according to the Maharal. The acholu avosono that our forefathers ate the last night they were in Egypt. Of course, it's a revolutionary chat. It changes completely the simple meaning of the statement, the acholu avosono, the mitzvah.
Rabbi,
yeah.
If you stated it, would you restate it, please?
When? No, that's when you drink it. Remember, I define to you what does it mean drinking four cups. That it doesn't mean drinking, but it means saying the right thing in front of a full cup. The drinking is a secondary here. It's important here, but it's a secondary here. When does the second cup begin? Right? Like people sometimes say, that's not important when you pour the wine. When you pour the wine, it's essential. You must pour the wine before Manistano. Some have the minig right after Manistano. But whole lachmo is not part of the four cups. So therefore, since they say the essence of the second cup is avodimoyinu, or mitchilot de avodezoro yavuseinu, therefore the essence of the second cup is not pure chayrus. Yeah. That's why there is a havamina in the second cup. You also don't have to, because we didn't come still to the me'avdus lechayrus, from avodimoyinu to chayrus, or mitchilot de avodezoro to chayrus. But holach money is not part of the cup.
No, but I'm confused because was linking that by Dal Kosos is different than by Masi. By Dal Kosos we have to link the Haggadah to the Dal Kosos. We have to find the most appropriate spot for the Dal Kosos, and how we find the most appropriate spot for the two Kosos that you have to lean. That's by looking at the Haggadah and seeing what order the Haggadah is presented. And
which does it mean?
Might have on what's that?
Kochav.